Welcome to another episode of the Monday Morning Hit Pod. KG here with my boy B-Plot. B-Plot, how we doing today?
We're doing good. This is the most anticipated pod ever dropped from the Skokie Heads talking. So I'm sure everyone's looking forward to listening to what we got to say.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I have a lot of things to say. Obviously, it's been a pretty exciting week in the league. A lot of controversy, a lot of trades for the first time, the trade wire kind of a buzz for the first time. I'll let you lead the way. I mean, before we talk about the controversial trade and all the controversy, let's just start with chronological order. I think the first deal this week was your team, correct?
Yeah, man. Grant actually reached out to me, and was like, you know, are you willing to trade any of your running backs? And I love to have depth for running backs, but you know, I also don't like to be put in a situation where I start the wrong one. And even after making a trade, I found myself doing that this weekend, but we'll talk about that later. And then the conversation went really smoothly. It was kind of back and forth, you know, who you interested in. And it was one of the easier trades. And I feel fair trades too. He obviously needed he said he wanted a starting running back, and, you know, Zeke was a bell cow back in the day. And now he splits, but he's definitely a part of a offense that's gonna get his 15 touches, 15 runs, and he's got the, you know, goal line ability to fall in the end zone. And I wanted to shore up my wide receiver core that's kind of been struggling. That pulled that trigger. I think it was fair for both sides. What are your thoughts on that trade? Zeke for Evans with Bateman thrown in there.
Yeah, I thought it was a great deal on both ends. Very fair. Like you said, I think your team has a lot of depth at running back, so you're able to kind of let go of Zeke in that situation. And Grant kind of needed to kind of fill that void, losing Williams, obviously. And at the same token, definitely on your end, getting Mike Evans really bolsters your receiving. Obviously, okay, didn't have the greatest week this past week, but you saw the week before he was a monster. So it'll have good and bad weeks, but I definitely think it's good for your receiving core where you kind of needed some help. And for Grant, he also gets Bateman back. And even though he's hurt, when he comes back, he was looking pretty good with Jackson. So, and he's got that stack now with Jackson too. So a good deal overall, I think. Definitely, I think on both sides, that was definitely a fair deal. So yeah, it was a good way to start the week on the trade wire. And then, you know, things got a little heated and crazy here towards the end of the week. And let's kind of get into it right now. So we'll start with the first initial trade. And obviously, as we all know, this trade was JR kind of giving up on his team this year, unfortunately, and letting go of Stephon Diggs, who's been one of the best receivers and one of the best offenses this year, as we all know. And kind of preparing for next year, and the players really don't make a difference. Treylon Burks, obviously, whatever. Nobody cares about that. But at the same token, obviously, the third, I believe, was 31 draft dollars for next year is what he's getting. So let's kind of get into it right away. First of all, as far as the deal itself goes, my opinion is, look, Stephon Diggs is a great player. He's on the best offense in the league. Getting $30 is an advantage, but I also think that Jeff could have eked out a few more bucks there. I mean, Stephon, I think, is kind of worth like at least 35 to 40, which I think was kind of Tony's point, why he was so upset. But the reason I got a little too emotional, I will admit that I wasn't wrong in a lot of ways, but I'm very passionate about fantasy football. I care a lot about this league. I care a lot about the integrity of the league. It's not about the money, it's not about, you know, but I think that, hey, like I said in the previous pod, if I sit down and I'm playing at a poker table, it's about the competition. I mean, think about you, my friend. You play basketball with your buddies. Like, you guys are older and stuff, but you still care, right? I mean, you still really care. It's competition, isn't it?
For sure, 100.
100%, exactly. So, like, to me, I'm going to say it up front right now. Anybody who is in this league or wants to be in this league, like, if you really don't give a fuck and your response is going to be like, oh, it's just fantasy football, then get the fuck out of the league. I mean, not to be blunt or rude, but, like, it's a competition. Like, anybody competes. Like, I know it's fantasy. I know we're not really physically playing anything, but it is a competition. It's not about the money. It's about the fact that everybody wants to be a winner, and we're friends and all that, but it's a competition. That's all I'm saying. So to that factor, I, as Tony said as well, did not like the fact that we, after 4 weeks into the season, had a team already selling off. I mean, to me, that's not a good sign. And I know this was a rule that we all agreed on. And where I was in the wrong was becoming BK, obviously, on Saturday morning was, yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't have my Saturday morning cartoons and I didn't have my Saturday morning cereal. And I was a little bit of a crybaby. I'll admit that. But it's more or less because I didn't like the fact we have a team selling already this early in the season. I don't like the fact that we already have teams not setting their lineups already 4 weeks into the season. And I just think it just makes the league look bad. And we have no repercussions. We have like no, we don't even vote on somebody at this point not setting their lineup. Like, to me, it's kind of like, you know, any other league, any other situation, I think that would sound ridiculous. So nonetheless, we did vote on this rule. We all agreed on it. Retroactively, I understand we're not going to go back on it. I do think we should be able to make adjustments during the year, but it's not fair to the players who already made the deal. And it is what it is. And it's not anybody's fault. We all, at that point in time, should have looked back and made the adjustment to cap it. That being said, and I'll get to you, see what your opinion is in a minute, my friend. Sorry, I'm kind of talking too much here. But that being said, I highly recommend that not to even vote on capping this thing, because the bottom line is it ruins the integrity of the league. Right now, we have a team that's a doormat of the league, that anybody who gets to play them multiple times in the season gets a huge advantage. And on top of that, next year, the other team also, I mean, Jeff has a huge advantage next year where he's going to have $50 extra compared to everybody else. So I just think it's a bad rule. We should have looked back on it. It's going to stand for this year. The option should be multiple choice next year, a cap of either like 20 or 15. And I think 20 should be the cap. And I know it's going to screw over Meetle and Dan, unfortunately, because they're the ones who put up money and they're the ones who are going to get screwed the most out of this. Jeff will be the biggest beneficiary for next year, but it is what it is. We can't let it ruin the league. And, you know, so anyway, I'll let you talk. And I apologize to the commissioner. I know he goes through a lot. People have bitched him throughout the years about the website. I've always thought the website is great. I think ESPN is not as good as NFL. I was a little out of control on Saturday morning. So, in that right, we are friends. We shouldn't get so heated about stuff like this. So
it's all good. I mean, I think a part of it, like I was upset initially because I got the dollars draft dollar thing, because I jumped to conclusions and I thought the deal was just Treylon Burks for Diggs and that Jeff was going to keep Diggs. And I assumed Jeff thought he was a keeper, and that set me off. And after I found out the dollars were involved, I kind of stopped my complaining. But I did voice my opinion. I thought it is kind of early for Jeff to be selling. I mean, he was what, like 3 or 4 games back, and there's 10 weeks left in the season. Like, I mean, injuries could happen. I mean, like, Terb's team wasn't like looking like a contender week 4 last year, and he ended up winning it, you know? Like, I feel like Jeff kind of took the easy way out. Like, you know, just like, I'll just pack it up for next year. But at the same time, it doesn't guarantee him at all that he's going to go out and win next year. Like, he can, like Aaron made a comment on GroupMe that, like, what if he spends all his money on Jonathan Taylor, who's been a bust so far this year? Like, he's going to have an advantage for sure, but doesn't mean it's going to be automatic. You know, it's not like he has a proven track record of being able to manage his team and, you know, draft the right guys, start the right guys, and stuff like that. I did try to investigate in his deals in the past, and he does have a lot of deals with Meetle and Daniel. And he made a comment about, you know, three things that he did, and he thought only few people would sell. It's interesting that he went to those two guys that he's dealt with in the past, that he's had relationships with. They know that they can kind of, I'll make you a deal here. There were some interesting trades in the past that were like kind of suspect too. There's no way to kind of monitor that. But that was just one thing that kind of, as I tried to dig deeper into this whole thing, kind of frustrated me a little bit. But I don't know. And I go back to my trade with Grant. Like, I want it to be a fair deal. Like, I want it to be like, I'm going to help you out. We're going to make this deal done. Like, I'm not trying to take advantage of something or compromise the rest of the league. But, you know, it definitely, like Josh made a point on GroupMe that the controversy is engaging and the league is at all-time high as far as involvement. And I know you've brought up a lot about people not setting their lineup. And to Steve's, he's one that started Amon Brown, who was kind of like a game-time decision and was kind of announced early in the morning and yada, yada, yada. Like, it's not like Steve, you know, it's just part of his kind of the way his franchise is run. He's going to not start. That's why Steve's only won, you know, he won one championship early on. And like, that's just kind of part of his franchise, the way he runs his team. I don't think to keep bringing that up. I think that part of, you know, people not setting their lineup, I think we've improved on that. But yeah, you know, those are just some of my thoughts. And I kind of wandered off on stuff, but overall, I think this league is much more involved now. I mean, I know everyone in the league is probably waiting to hear, you know, what we have to say on this podcast. There's people that care about this league, and and the fact that you're so worked up just means that, you know, the league's in a good spot right now.
No, that's true, and people are more interested than but that's a good point there. I mean, people definitely have more interest than before. And I'm not just to call, I'm not like soling off Fiala. Like Fiala's a great guy. Like I know he's been busy, and that was a game time decision. I'm just going back to previous years, and I'm frustrated because one of my proposals was to at least have like a $25 fine, and it got voted down. And I just think there should be like, hey, but we'll get to that next year. And we'll figure it out. So it's all good. Bottom line is not good to get defeated as friends. And I don't know if you agree with me. I think it's definitely a good idea to cap it next year. I think you said that during that too. So we can move on nonetheless. I mean,
one last thing I wanted to say, and I don't think I brought it up on GroupMe or was mentioned at all, but I think there should be a window where you can't trade for assets until like week.
Yes.
Like halfway point of the season, because that way you can't sell out your team. You know, maybe it should be, you know, what it was, 14 weeks in the regular seasons, and you know, after week 7, you can't do it, because I mean, week 4, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, even Fred's team, I think I reached out to Fred when this started happening. I was like, oh, you know, cause he said, you know, all my players are on the market. So I reached out to him, and then he was like, I'm going to reevaluate. Cause I think if you wait longer, you could probably find out who the buyers are and push that price up. And, you know, look at Fred, 0-8 going into this week, had a monster week. He didn't get the win, but he's going to get his first victory point. His team's still competitive. He's still not giving up and selling yet. Like, who knows? He could turn it around. I know he's definitely not going to finish in last. And another thing I think on top of that is that there should be some type of punishment for coming in last. If you're going to sell your team out, like there should be something that you have to like, there has to be a downside for selling your team. Like if you sell off your team and you come in last place, there should be a penalty. There should be some type of, even if it's something that we can come up with that's humiliating that you have to do, like, there should be some downside to selling off your team, not just a total benefit of giving yourself up this year. Because, I mean, the chance, you think about one team's going to win this year. Like, coming in second doesn't mean shit. I've come in second. I'm not, like, proud of coming in second place. There's one winner this year, so a lot of people are not going to win. But, like, if you're going to sell off your team and you know, give up on this year, like, you should run the risk of coming in dead last, and there should be some type of penalty for that. I'm an advocate for those two things, but, passing things in this league is pretty difficult. But what are your thoughts on those two potential proposals for next year?
Great points. Yeah, I mean, you actually took the words out of my mouth. I forgot I was going to mention that. I thought about that this morning, actually, about, I think it would be, I know the trade deadline's kind of shortly after, but I think it'd be a great idea where when we cap it next year for this, we say, hey, you know what? Like, no team can trade. You can't trade before the fifth week is over or something like that. So that way it avoids like tanking too early in the season, which we can make the adjustment on. So great point by you on that. And then, yeah, I do think that whether it's like the person, like maybe like paying an extra, like certain amount of money to the pot, like, so maybe an extra $50 or something like that. So there's some sort of incentive where you have to avoid finishing last. I think that's a great point. But yeah, I think definitely two good points we should try to enforce next year. And then kind of moving on just on the trades, just the other trade we'll mention really quick. That was for draft dollars, just to analyze it really quick. Obviously, you know, Big Danny needing a quarterback, trading 23 draft dollars for next year for Dak Prescott. Just really quick, what are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, he brought up it's the same thing. He's, you know, all in on this year. Good for him. Big Danny's problem for next year with his draft money. He felt like he really needed to improve his quarterbacks, and like on paper that, like, you know, that's a good move, but like Dak didn't look good week one. He was a, you know, up and coming stud quarterback because he was getting like 6 rushing touchdowns a year in his first couple years. And that's not going to happen anymore, because they're not going to risk him, you know, getting injured again. So I don't think his and their defense is really good. So they're not going to be in a lot of shootouts. Like, I don't think if he was going to go for a quarterback to upgrade and spend draft money on, I think he could have gotten, maybe spent a little bit more and got someone that was going to be a lock to be a stud. But I think Dak is a middle of the, you know, QB 10 is his high upside, maybe more like in the 15, you know, QB 2, like 15, 16 range. I don't know if he's, they got those running backs that they give a lot of touch to. So I don't know if that might be a little bit of a stretch spending, you know, jeopardizing your next year for him. But he needed to improve his team. And look at, I mean, I've got two good quarterbacks, but like, I'm going to have some weeks where I might not be able to start on the quarterback. Cause there's nobody on the, you can't give someone off the waiver wire, you know? So he did what he had to do. And then he made a comment on GroupMe, which was like pouring salt on my wound, because he said that if he didn't make the trade, he would have lost that last victory point, cause he would start Andy Dalton. Well, if I didn't make my trade, you know, I probably would have had Gabe Davis in there instead of, you know, because I would have had Evans and I would have won. So I took that one kind of became a sad panda, because I took Gabe out of my lineup after I made my trade.
There's always a little bit of banter between you and Big Danny. I love it. I think it was a little bit too much for Dak. I mean, like, you know, he was pretty bad week one. That seems a little bit sketchy, you know. But we'll see. I mean, I think it was a little bit of a panic move because, hey, you could have been patient there and kind of seen what my team was going to do. Like, obviously, I might be a seller at some point with Josh Allen. Like, I mean, but whatever. Right. I mean, you know, it's all good. But nonetheless, you know, some big trades, a lot of controversy, a lot of fun. But
I definitely think Daniel did it. I mean, once Jeff made that first one and there was all, like, the fear of missing out on that, I think Daniel definitely might have pulled the trigger a little early. But, again, he was doing what was best for his team. And, you know,
and he did get same. Yeah, so there you go. So you can't complain that much. So.
No, I mean, and like, I know Aaron's been a big advocate of, like, this is good for the league. And, like, you know, we made this rule for this type of stuff. And I think even your overreaction was, you know, I mean, people were loving it. Like, you know, BK was born, man. And I don't think it's ever going to die. I don't know. This is the year of Big Danny and BK, and I love it.
Yeah, you know, I do care, but I do like to stir the pot a little bit too. But anyway, we'll move on to the big matchup this week, and I'm gonna get started with the one that's gonna be the closest tonight. Really tight battle in the projections. We got Raffleman looking to kind of get a big win if he can possibly do it and hang on here, and he's got a 3-point lead against Mutton for Sutton tonight. Mutton for Sutton's got Kelsey, and Raffleman's got Jacobs. I mean, personally. Even though the projections are going the opposite way, I kind of think it's, without a doubt, I think Mutt for Sutton's going to win this one. I think Kelsey's going to have a much better game than Jacobs. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Jacobs has been quietly running the ball really, really well. He's the only problem is that you don't know what you're going to get with the Raiders' offense. And then it's the exact opposite with the Chiefs. Now that Hill's gone, Kelsey's, like, the guy. Like, Kelsey was, like, a yardage guy when Hill was there, and, like, the touchdowns weren't really there. He was like, I think the most touchdowns he's had is 5. He's already got 3 through week 4. You got to feel pretty good that he'll get, you know, his, you know, 15 or so points. And, I mean, it's going to be close. You got to give that just to consistency with Kelsey. But again, Jacobs has looked pretty solid. After that run last week against the Broncos, where they were like ripping his undershirt, and he just ran through the whole Broncos defense, and that just kind of sticks in my mind. That was the only time he found the end zone. He's gonna have to have another pretty big game for him to pull it off. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I just think because Casey's gonna go ahead, I think Mutt for Sutton's gonna hang on, and Kelsey will do enough. I actually started betting $50 every week now for Kelsey to have a touchdown, and he pretty much scores every week. So, But nonetheless, I mean, going forward, I think these two teams are kind of in the same thing. I still think Russ Wilson, I don't know if he's going to be able to get enough for Aaron, like, going throughout the year. And I think Aaron needs a little bit of help at the number 2 running back spot. And, you know, Fiala's team kind of just has been underperforming a little bit. But I think they both still have a good chance at the playoffs. Kind of moving on, we'll get to the highest scoring match for the week, one that's already determined. But Joey Weitzman, Team Weitzman, kind of coming back after a really low scoring week last week. Up there for the high points right now, at least. And Suvasu, valiant effort, really put together kind of a really heroic effort to kind of, as you said, he kind of reassessed, was looking to save his season, and he kind of ran into more of a juggernaut this week. And Tony's team pulled it off. Tony's team's looking really good. I do think he's the best team in the league again. Two really good running backs. You know, I mean, if I were to point out one flaw, unfortunately, his keeper of the tight end is not panning out very well. And right now, his tight end spot's looking really weak as Schultz put up a goose egg. But and Suv, this might be it. Kind of really far down the standings. Might be time to sell Chubb. I don't know, but unfortunately, you know, what are your thoughts?
Suv's team, like, from the draft, from the get-go, is this quarterback was an issue, and that's kind of hard to, like I mentioned before, there's not guys you can do on the waiver to make up for that. But, like, I mean, like, it's crazy. Like, he could start Lockett and Metcalf every week, and it looks like a pretty solid start there with the way Geno Smith is throwing the ball around. And, you know, and he has like the number 1 running back. It's just that big hole at quarterback is going to be really hard for him to turn things around. And I think he, and obviously Taylor too, I mean, that he's been a big bust, but I don't know if he can turn it around. And then with just how top heavy his division is, it is a pretty uphill battle for him to make it back. And then, you know, Joey's team, yes, he is looking pretty good. It's crazy how up and down, like last week, his team was like, came back down to earth. Now he's, you know, back up to looking like the best team out there. You know, I have the same issue with tight end. You know, there's not many options out there, and the ones that look good are going to lay eggs often. And that's what happened to him and myself this week. But I think that's something that he can overcome with the depth he has on his roster. You know, and now he's got the even more depth at running back with Walker, who's going to be the starting running back in Seattle, just on a good offense that, you know, he'll have plenty of opportunity to score a lot of points. And we'll see if he can pull the trigger on, you know, maybe possibly selling some draft dollars. And I think as the trade deadline approaches and people know if they're actually a contender or not, that's going to even drive the price up even more. And that's another mistake that I think Jeff might have made, is he claimed that, like, if he didn't do it early, he's going to lose his opportunity. But I feel like the more you wait and the more you figure out who is more in need, he made it seem like it was, I only could talk to these, I knew these two people would sell out, but like people will be buyers if they're close to being, you know, getting the buy or close to making the playoffs and like one piece away or like just even with me and Grant, the reason why Grant and I made the deal was because of an injury. So if a player who is in the playoff picture loses an important player, then you could have jumped on that opportunity. So I think his reasoning when he gave his explanation was all kind of written just, I don't know. I wasn't buying it. Especially because
And these trades, just to confirm, even with the draft dogs, I know Daniel had pointed out, and we refined that with that follow-up vote, they do have to be done before the draft deadline, correct?
Yeah, I think after the draft deadline, everything locks, and then you can do it again in the offseason.
Yeah. And just a quick mention, and I forgot to mention on the pod last week, Tony, you know, I know you had a down week last week, but you did help me a week ago in a FanDuel showdown actually get first place. Simone's on fire right now, just everybody knows. So.
I think you did mention that.
So anyway, we'll move on. So keep going in the matchups. We'll get to another high-scoring matchup between two of the best teams in the league. Big divisional battle between the Indians and the Way of the Shark. Indians team kind of resurging again this week. They've had some down weeks, but really, really, really kind of right sorting my rankings this past week. Really liking this team right now. Dalvin Cook's finally showing up. You know, I know that Swift's hurt, but Mostert kind of looking like he might be stepping up as a back. And, you know, the acquisition of Diggs is huge. I know he gave us 30 bucks next year, but to me, it's kind of right now a steal for him. Diggs is on fire right now with Allen. And I think Indians, and for our division, Indians kind of looking like he might be taking over. Way of the Shark, you know, valiant effort this week. I mean, it's still not over yet, but the projections have me to winning by 13. Way of the Shark, still there, still putting up big points every week. You know, G, Deppin doing their thing, obviously. They did offer me, I'm not going to tell you the exact trade, but another shyster trade, a lot of shyster trade offers coming from G, Deppin, just so everybody knows. But nonetheless, I the one thing that I'll say about this team is the losing Javonte Williams really is going to hurt.
Now Connor's banged up too. He left the game yesterday, and his status is up in the air. So he's really dealing with the injury bug from forward.
Yep. So yeah, what are your thoughts on these two teams?
I mentioned his team's dealing with the injury thing. He can shake it off. You know, Mito's team, yeah, Mostert is definitely the back to own in Miami now. And now with, I don't know how much longer Tua is going to be out, but, you know, Waddle kind of becomes a question mark. So, you know, grabbing Diggs is even that much more important. But yeah, I mean, with Mahomes and Herbert, you know, they're going to carry the team most weeks. And if they don't carry him, because, you know, Herbert had a pedestrian game, you know, he's still got, you know, Mike Williams is a beast mossing everybody. And, Dalvin Cook's kind of been, he's just got guys that, like, he can have guys like Waddle didn't do well. And he can still think about, he had like four guys that under 10 points. And if you, any other team that has four guys under 10 points, they're probably going to put up close to 100 points, but you know, he's just got so many guys that can go off at any time. Because, I mean, yeah, Mito's team is definitely going to be in consideration, you know, for the championship all year. And the year he did win it, it was the same thing for him. He just kind of took it from beginning to end and kind of ran with it the whole way.
He beat me that year. So, yeah, all good. Let's move on to another high-scoring matchup this week. The Pickles, Pick 6 Pickles against Papa Smurf, our classic pod battle. It was a good one. I mean, unfortunately, as we know, you know, there were some points left on the bench. I would have made the exact same moves you did. I benched him in my other league. It just happens. But you know what? In the end, when I look back on this matchup, I mean, could be a season-saving win for me. Who knows? I'm hoping to get high points. Obviously, I'm going to get two victory points, but there's still flaws in my team. But your team, I'm a little bit impressed with. Kind of a team that I thought was struggling early. And, Kyler Murray, if he can pick it up, he's been a little bit weak sauce this year. But Marquise Brown's been a huge find. I mean, he's been really good. And you got a lot of depth at running back. Pierce has been a big, you know, good pickup. I mean, good draft pick. And, Gabe Davis now, if he can keep this up. And Jeff Wilson's starting to pick it up, too. So I think your team's got good depth. And I think this week showed, even you put up a good amount of points, even with all those points on the bench, that you still have a pretty good chance. But you got to work on tight end.
Yeah, tight end's an issue for me. And now Stevenson's going to be kind of, if I don't know how long Harrison's going to be out. Either one of those guys, being the workhorse in New England, especially with Zappe, they're not going to be throwing the ball too much. I'll be able to lean on him. And yeah, Pierce, I drafted Pierce thinking, the word that he was going to be the three down back and that, that he was going to just get a lot of volume. That's starting to come true even after a slow start. And, I had a slow start and I got to, keep grinding it out. And it would have been really nice to get the victory this week if I would have started Gabe. Cause then I would have been right back in the picture, in the playoff picture, but still got some work to do. And it helps that Jarrett and Josh both laid eggs and they won't be getting a 2-0 week this week. Yep. One guy will go 0-2 and one guy will go 1-1, but you know, your team, Kamara finally, put up some points. You always got Josh Allen that's going to support you. And I've seen some crazier stuff, so I wouldn't count a victory yet for you. Just to say that, you even mentioned before, but we've seen some wilder stuff on Monday Night Football. And I don't know if me saying it right now jinxes it, but.
He's questionable, and Carr could easily throw three picks. This is not over, folks.
Right. It could do a Teddy Bridgewater first play concussion out for the game because they're not messing around with concussions anymore. So, if you any type of not being able to control your body, how would that be, Dan?
Hey, man. As AK will tell you, KG's had some crazy shit happen to him. So. Anyway, we'll move on. We'll see what happens, but hopefully we can hang on. Hopefully needing 6 points or not hang on. Hopefully we can get the win. But nonetheless, yeah, it'll be good. But huge job by Tucker last night and a lot of victory points going to the other division this week. Love that. Moving on, another matchup that's to be decided tonight that is, should be a close battle, a low scoring battle this week. Bassinger's team is done. And they're beating Turb right now by 20 when KJK needs 20 points, essentially, out of Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, who's the sole player left. And you never know. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire could do it. Right now, the projections don't have it there. Unfortunately, I think Turb's going to fall a little short, but you never know. I think Edwards-Hilaire could be a beast tonight, too. So, but these two teams, I think, are kind of been in the decline a little bit. Kind of low-scoring weeks, I think, I'm not sure about last week for Bassinger. I know Turb's team has been a little bit more low-scoring, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it'll be tough for Clyde Edwards-Hilaire to get 20. He's gotten 20 twice already this season. But, like, everyone's on him is, like, both those times he scored two touchdowns. I don't know. He could, though.
He'd be close.
He's definitely going to need to have to find the end zone because he doesn't have enough volume or, get enough yardage to do it without that. So he's going to have to find the end zone a couple times. The Chiefs are probably going to score a bunch, but I don't know. I think Bassinger pulls it off. Both those teams are kind of, you don't know what you're going to get each week. And Bassinger, like when he was going off, Tyreek Hill was going off and now Tyreek Hill is kind of, a question mark without Tua and the whole Miami situation, and even their offensive line is kind of banged up. And, you know, Ja'Marr Chase really hasn't panned out for, you know, what they thought. And,
bad keeper choice.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that's a bad keeper choice because he didn't pay for much of that. But, you know,
but he could have had Henry, though. What do you mean?
But he would have paid a lot more money for it. If he went with Henry, I don't think he would have been able to get. I don't know what else he did, but I mean, would he got Chase for like $8 and like Henry would have been like 28 or something?
Now you, I mean, anyway, I mean it's fine. It's a moot point. I mean it's what it is. I mean a lot of people have done the same. But
but I mean his issue, I think his weakness going into the season was quarterback as well, and you know Trevor showed flashes of being the guy, and then you know the last couple of weeks he's kind of laid an egg, and Bachelor got kind of he went with you know Teddy Bridgewater this week, and it's crazy that he's going to get a goose egg from a quarterback and still pull out the victory.
And
we were talking about Turbin, how good his running backs were looking last week, and then this week absolutely squadoosh.
That's a big blow and then
AJ Brown on the first drive had 3 catches for 32 yards and didn't do anything the rest of the game. I don't know if he got hurt or what, but kind of a strange game for Turb. But
Goff, I said in the power.
Right. Goff is like the quarterback on the leading scoring team in the NFL and they get shut out. That's crazy. It's just couldn't have guessed that stuff. Oh, and then Dallas defense. You got Dallas's defense last week, right?
Yeah, I shouldn't have dropped them. That was a mistake.
You dropped them to pick up Denver, which ended up being a good play. And that was a Thursday night game. I was like, ooh, I should pick up that Dallas defense just to, you know, that's a total, like, get back at Costa move. And, like, I kind of considered it, but I have the Eagles defense, who's pretty solid, and who knows what Murray is going to do, so I didn't do it. But I could have used the 23 points versus from Dallas.
Yeah, and then the crazy part is that even though both these teams can easily win a title this year because they both have talent on their team, but and then that's the parity in our league. To get to the final matchup, we saved the worst for last. Team WTW, not the worst, having a pretty good week. They did put up 127. Pretty, you know, Cooper Kupp looking good. Obviously, as always, great keeper. Derrick Henry having a great year. You know, so and Justin Tucker obviously was worth the early pick on a kicker. He's been a monster. And Dale's looking okay. He's kind of hanging around the playoff picture. Unfortunately, on the other end, the doormat of the league, draft Dala Hala, putting up an epic low this week. Right now, looking to put up 70 points, and that's just going to be a walkover for anybody. So, like I said, save the worst for last this week. Went for Daniel, and obviously, Jeff's just not going to be winning anymore. So,
yeah, and it's going to be, I think he'll win like one, he'll get 1 week where like all the stars align, and then that one person that loses to him is going to get cost them, or it's going to be like Joey who puts up 145 every other week and then plays Jeff and just lays an egg and Jeff all his stars align or something. But I think Jeff will win one more game this season and he'll finish and he'll win that game and he won't get the victory point, so he won't finish top six in scoring the rest of the season. And then my guess is he finishes 3-25.
Well, good stuff, man. Good stuff. I mean, you know, a lot of controversy. The league's at, like you said, at its utmost peak. It's a lot of fun, and hopefully we didn't drag on too long here today. And good luck to everybody with their matches still to be decided tonight. And in the end, except for everybody but Jeff, I still validly think that. I think maybe Sue, I mean, even though he's not out of it technically, I think he might have a small chance too. I think everybody has a chance to still get back at the peak. So.
Yeah, and don't forget, even though Jeff has an advantage going into next season, there's two people that have a disadvantage that you're going to have an advantage over. And there could be more, Costa, if you're not a seller. But you can go into next season, and there could be three or four people. Probably not, though. I can't imagine. I don't know. How many more draft dollar moves do you think there's going to be?
Well, I'll tell you this right now. If I lose next week, Josh Allen's going to be gone. So there'll for sure be one more. So we'll see what happens next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice.
All right. Have a good week, buddy. You guys all take care.
All right, later.
Later.